Help us manifest World Enlightenment 2016. So let's get high and fly into new possibilities. So join Kathy every Friday night on UPRN, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show. A very powerful happening.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and you're listening to United Public Radio, UPRN 107.7 FM in New Orleans.
Hi, come check out Christina George's new show, Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond, Thursday night, 8 p.m. See you Thursday, Jeff.
You're listening to UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Joe Montaldo, and you're listening to United Public Radio. Come check out Christina George's new show, Paranormal Connections, only on United Public Radio, Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. See you Monday. Hello, you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Montaldo, host of News on the Flip Side. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans. Broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live365, Ustream, and Shoutcast has made the UPRN the longest-running, highly rated, and best source of quality, unique programming that is not afraid of the status quo in alternative media. This station has a solid course of shows and hosts that refuse to get stuck in a rut or be overrun by a groupthink mentality, because station owner, host, and iCar founder Joe Montaldo knows the value of letting his talented stable of hosts grow uninhibited. In this genre, that's an accomplishment which many in alternative radio are striving for but are left consistently wanting. This is all made possible because of you, the listener, that tunes in live every night, who can tell the difference that independent thinking makes. The best way to show our appreciation is to thank you and continue to allow our listeners the ability to download the archives of all the shows free of charge on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. No monthly fees, no cost to download individual shows, and none of the constant hassling for donations. That's the UPRNradio.com difference. So stick around, there's much more to come with new shows on the way. For now, feel free to join your favorite show live in the Pal Talk chat room, easily accessible off UPRNTalkRadio.com, and share the experience of listening live with other listeners from around the world. So thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the UPRNTalkRadio.com family of listeners.
You want to learn about aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs, visitations, military abductions? Join Joe Montaldo on Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. for his episodes of UFO Undercover.
I had had enough.
Well, you drove out there into the middle of nowhere and had some sort of loud verbal display challenging E.T. in general out in the middle of nowhere?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was doing. I actually had a pistol in my hand at the time. I was really ticked off. When I was having this fit, I was waving the gun in the air, okay, and I had this fit. And at this moment, I said, okay.
Thank you. was Louisiana, a man named Montaldo. Folks around called him Six Gun Joe. Works with ICAR, don't you know? Investigating UFOs. Out for a drive with a gal one night, they stopped to check out a reporting site. When an alien lit right there on the ground, commenced to throwing his weight around. Now, old Six Gun didn't take too kindly to that kind of thing. Especially without Vaseline or anything like that, you know. Seriously. Well, Six Gun looked that critter right in the eye and said, any last wish before you die, y'all? Reached for his gun, quick as a twitch, and said, fill your claw, you son of a bitch. Now, a legend spread across the land about this pistol-waving man. But if you're from space or from Earth below, you don't give no lip to Six Gun Joe.
Welcome to UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Montaldo.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of UFO Undercover. Like Natasha says, I am your host, Joe Montaldo. Hope everyone's having a great morning, great evening, great afternoon, wherever you are on our big, beautiful blue planet. You know, guys, I got to say, there's really no way I want to be every week with here. I mean, I really enjoy doing the show. It's a lot of fun. Really, these days, you know, and I get to do a lot more just information shows, which I really like doing. I got to say, it's one of my favorite things to do, and coming here every week and talking about it is great. Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about Holocaust dreams, well, contactees Holocaust dreams. Now, recently, I've done some update on this. I had gotten some new information from some of our directors and organization this month, actually last month, and we've kind of updated a lot of stuff that we think about this, or maybe not what we think, but it's been better defined, might be a better way of looking at it. You know, it's hard these days because there is a lot of data out there, and we have a lot of contactees and organizations. You know, every day I get 2, 3, 4 people write to me, and they don't all turn out to be contactees, and they're not even all going to be investigated. But it's a lot of the old days where we were seeing one case a week or one case a month. You know, it's a lot different now, and we get a lot more press and a lot more people know who we are. And really, we're not here to be famous. We're not here to be, you know, one of the people in ufology. We're here for answers. We're here for truth. We're here to know why in the hell this is going on and why has it happened to particular people and why can't it actually be stopped. That's what alien abduction really is, and that's what we really get into. But tonight, again, like I said, we're going to talk about the Holocaust dreams tonight, but before we get in that, little interesting news from some of my friends in West Virginia. There were some sightings out there I found interesting. There was 3 silver discs that had been seen up and down the East Coast, and then I got a report out of Norfolk of these 3 same silver discs. So, you know, we're in Virginia, West Virginia. About 2 days go by, a friend of mine driving out of D.C. through Maryland, crossing over the, I guess it's the Potomac River right there, that bridge. And I think like it's like a tunnel bridge. I'm pretty sure it's a Potomac, but I'm not 100% sure, so don't hate on me. Seen these 3 silver discs. Now, I find this interesting because, you know, recently we've got a rash of abduction cases coming out of the East Coast, all the way from the tip of Florida, all the way up to Maine. But basically, within a state or two, it doesn't seem to dip much further than that into it. So I'm kind of confused. You know, why there's only been X amount of sightings. The sightings should maybe be a little bit higher than that, but still, it does seem to be interesting, the correlation between sightings and abduction cases. And it is one of the things that we look for when all of this was going on. To the email I got just a few minutes ago, that was Elaine Pistanio. She hosts the Wednesday's version of Flipside Light. She is what we consider right of center. So we're always looking, and she does a great job. We're also looking for a host. We're looking for a host for Tuesday night to take over the Tuesday night version of Flipside Light, which will be somewhere near center, and we'll discuss that more in depth. Thursday, I'm going to be hosting. Ben's going to be taking over on Fridays. And Saturdays, we are going to be adding some things to the program. So be sure to check those out. We also do have two new paranormal shows coming on the network sometime. Let me correct myself. It's not actually two paranormal shows. It's a paranormal show and a conspiracy show. And they'll be joining us sometime in the next 30 days, maybe sooner. A lot of times we say 2 months or 30 days, and it ends up being short. It's just a matter of getting banners and sites and other things up and running. So once all that's up and done, we will be adding those shows to the network. And I know Ronald Keith, if you're listening, I got your email. Really, there are no free slots left on the network. There are only Sundays and daytime slots, and those are all paid slots. We don't give that airtime away free because, one, we'd be giving up our Sundays, so we charge for that airtime. And weekdays we charge because it has to offset the cost of one of us not being at work. So those things have to be recuperated. Other than that, the station's doing great. There's a lot of good talent on the station, but we're always looking for talent. And I am really looking for two male and two female hosts, mainly to endeavor in the politics, but some esoteric stuff as well. So if you're interested or you know someone that's interested, you can write to me at uprn@cox.net, and then we will go from there. Or if you know me or you're involved with me and you have my cell number, you can call me. As a matter of fact, I was interviewing someone earlier today for a job on the station, which I find interesting that news travels fast. But anyway, enough about all that. I was thinking when I was listening to Six Guns, I've always loved that song. The song just cracks me up. And I know when people hear it, it just cracks me up. Oh, Christopher, I don't know. The Ancient Aliens things, I do not know. All they told me initially that it would be anywhere from 2 to 8 months. So we're on, I think, episode 12 or 13 now. You know, you never know how many episodes Ancient Aliens is going to do. I'm hoping in either the second or last. I really would like to be the final episode of the season. Because maybe they'll pick up with something at the start of next season. So, well, it'd be nice for you to start. Now, regardless, those would be two slots I'd be real happy with. But when I know, you will know. Hell, you might see it before I do, because I've been working a lot on Fridays. But, you know, it's a good interview. There's a lot of material. I have no idea how I'm going to come off, because they're going to put it together. Let me reiterate this. I had 4.5 hours of interview time with these people. Okay, and y'all know I can talk a lot. So there was a lot of data there. It's simply what they're going to pick and choose. They also asked me for a complete breakdown of the blood type studies and some of the other stuff we do. So I sent those along as well. So they have all that information available at their fingertips. Hopefully it will do them what they're looking for. Or hopefully it is what they're looking for. But anyway, getting down to tonight's topic, which is Holocaust rooms. Now, when we talk about Holocaust dreams, we're not talking about, like, the Bible, the biblical Holocaust, which, not saying that they couldn't be tied together, or Notre Dame's Holocaust. We're not really actually talking about that. It's not that somehow or fashion they couldn't be intertangled. I'm not going to rule that out, because, frankly, when you get into this subject, it is vast, and you never know what might come out of it. But for the new listeners out there who've never heard this show before or not familiar with this particular topic matter, Holocaust dreams we get from contactees. Contactees, about 25% to one-third, really and truly have this weird dream. Now, when the first time I heard this, I just thought it was some kind of overactive imagination and that it was just a dream, and that's all it was. You know, very vivid, very interesting dream, but still just a dream. Now, along with all these Holocaust dreams, we found out that there were sets of what we would call keepers or contactees that would be evolved on a sidestep, meaning that they would be involved with either recovering or finding or doing something with these people who were having these Holocaust dreams. All right, to break this down, the very first one I ever heard, this is a lady who lives in Houston, Texas. Now, I've got about 30 of these out of Houston, and they're almost all identical. So she says they're driving along. They pull into Houston. The lights are working. The street lights are working. the cars are parked on the counter, the signs in the windows are working, everything seems to be working the way it's supposed to be. Now, one of the things I found interesting about is what she describes in some of the windows is like the mannequins' heads track you when you walk by, and it scans you and seems to at least know who you are or what you are. So it's got to be set a little further in the future than right now. I wouldn't say very far, because these aren't technologies that are very far out. Matter of fact, I was hearing about mannequins that they're planning on putting in New York that track and things, and ones that actually call you by name, and things that can post up on your screen about you, so that the sales thing can be addressed directly to you. So much for privacy, but still interesting technologies. Now, they driving down the street, they don't see anybody. No people in the cars, no people in the buildings, but nothing other than it was eerie, there was no one around. So as they're driving along, you know, and when I'm listening to them, I'm always expecting like The Walking Dead, like something's going to jump out of a car or a window, but none of that actually happens. They get into great detail, but they don't see anything. So then they're leaving Houston. Actually, she told me, headed towards Louisiana. They get probably 50 miles, 30, 40 miles outside of Houston when they run across a huge military group. It's like a group of militaries, and they're excavating and they're burying bodies in mass. I mean, they're just digging these giant holes and just pushing these bodies into graves with bulldozers. But they don't seem to be affected, and neither of these people having Holocaust dreams, they don't seem to be affected. But yet there seems to be a mass death. But there is no destruction. The buildings seem to be intact. They do describe some places where cities are burning, but there isn't, probably because something electronic went wrong or something electrical went wrong or something else went wrong and created fire, lightning or something. And, of course, it was no one there to put it out, and fires are going to spread until they run out of fuel. So you hear about that. But for the most part, they describe cities left intact, with no real damages and no bodies and nothing else laying around. So it was a very scary, very strange thing. Now, when they talk about approaching hospitals, they say there are mounds and mounds and mounds and mounds of dead bodies. Just mounds of them, wrapped and usually in sheets and waiting to be hauled off and buried like the rest of them are. It's very creepy stuff. Now, when they reached the one where the military was, she said the military actually tried to, they started talking to him, but then they wanted to apprehend him and bring him back to a facility. Of course, these people didn't want to trust the military for whatever reason. They felt like they shouldn't trust it and ran. Now, I found interesting about that is her and her two kids were actually captured by the military and brought to this place, this facility, where they describe these buildings, and there's little stores. It's like little villages surrounded by military. And they describe like pools of blue plasma, which we'll get into later on, but is really strange in itself, because we've talked about these before. They talk about other things going on there and contactees being there and just people. So, or everybody they meet seems to be a contactee except for military people. So obviously the military was aware that this was coming, and they prepared for it. Now, from the gist of what I get from the contactees I talked to, it seems to be this was a pandemic. This was something that swept across the planet in 7 days. It may have been a little longer. No one knows for sure, but they're estimating 7 days, and I don't know what on. We're just going to use that as a marker. Because as far as we know, it was 7 months. You know, I mean, there's a lot of bodies to get rid of, a lot of other stuff going on. But regardless, these people seem to be dead, and the people they're meeting that are not military seem to have had, you know, alien contact of some sort. Then, while this is all going on, now this is still the same people. We haven't even got into any other witnesses. We're just talking about this one set of witnesses. They said after they had been on the base for a while, they were informed that they had to go into the blue plasma and immerse themselves. And they said they come out feeling clean and energized and way healthier all the way around. It sounds like the blue plasma the Greys use. What the military was doing with it is beyond me. But it does sound like that. Can't be 100% sure by any means, but it does sound like that. And the Grey plasma is breathable, so it's an interesting product in itself. So, you know, they were immersing themselves and coming out in. They said it was just like any business. They had little stores where you could go in, but you didn't have to pay for anything. You just go in and get, like, you know, whatever they might have in stock that you could bring home and things like that. And the military was supplying food and goods and clothing and stuff like that. But they didn't want you leaving the base because they said that there were other things on the ground that were not conducive to humans. So I'm assuming they were talking about extraterrestrials, but they weren't. They were talking about the keepers who were left behind to make sure any human contactee got to wherever it was supposed to be. Now, what they talk about is a need or a call, a pull, where they're pulled to a particular area. It sounds something right out of, Close Encounters. That's what it sounds like, something right out of Close Encounters. They're being pulled. An attraction to something, and they feel the need to get there, and they want to get out, and the military won't let them go now. Other people are being taken there and moved, but there does seem to be either some sort of mutation of humans, or maybe it's the aliens themselves, but there seems to be some kind of cross-function, meaning that the Greys contactees, if they come in contact with, like, the humans or the reptilians, there seems to be a problem, same way all the way around. So they said that the Greys had, you know, I know y'all have heard us talk about husk bodies and host bodies before. That's what those big tubes and rooms for the bodies were. Well, they say when this all goes down, that the keepers and some of the other contactees will be uploaded into host bodies. Well, everybody will be uploaded into a host body, actually. But there's a few that will be left behind to go look for these people who, for some reason, didn't make the original pull-up. Really does, in a lot of ways, sound like some of the stories out of the Bible. So these people are very talented, they're very gifted, they have extreme psychic abilities, and probably will have to do some fairly nasty things to recuperate contactees from the military, because I think that's the only reason they were left behind. But the Holocaust dream is very in-depth, and when you start listening to other contactees, when they describe the cities, they describe them the same way. When they describe interaction with the military, they describe it the same way. They describe the draw the same way. They dream about a mountain where the ship comes and picks them up. They dream about other contactees protecting them and keeping them safe from aliens and military and whatever else might be running around. The whole thing just sounds like total fiction. But there's so much description from so many people that you can't take it as that. I mean, if we would have initially said this when we got the first case 25 years ago, then you could say, okay, this, and this happened. But we were 2,100 cases, 2,500 cases before we ever went public with this. And it is full of 25%, maybe 20%, 25, that have this dream, these Holocaust dreams. And they really feel like they're going to be taken somewhere other than here, the ones that survived. Really feel like they're being taken from somewhere here. A lot of them describe off-world colonies where they're going to be taken to the new host bodies. They talk about the ones that will be left here because of whatever reason they can't, because of whatever they've done here to save the other ones, they won't be allowed to go there. What's funny about all of this is, in the last decade or so, we've learned that ET aboard the ships have other groups that they're involved with an abduction, meaning other worlds, that are basically technologically around the same way we are. Now, when you ask them, have they had these Holocaust dreams, you get a big fat no. But when you ask them, have they heard about this with the humans, they said yes. So the story is, and whether the story is true or not, we're going to find out one day, that the reptilians actually own Earth. Okay, they actually own it. They were the original species that developed here, and technically it's their planet. But the galactic, whatever you want to call them, doesn't necessarily follow suit with that. So what they're going to probably end up doing is giving the reptilians a large section of the planet, probably also letting the humans and the Greys here, and whatever the group that's left, the humans, will also be allowed to form a colony. So you'll end up with like four colonies here. But they already knew that the 9 billion, and this was supposed to be 9 to 12 billion people when this happens, could never or would never accept extraterrestrials in a large group. Meaning that, you know, if the reptilians wanted to come live here, one, there's not really that much land for them to do it, and then two, most humans are not going to accept it. Same thing with the humans of the Greys. So really, you would actually have to clear out part of the segment or part of the population to make this happen. So what we're talking about here is mass annihilation of billions, with probably a billion or a half a billion, 2 billion left behind, that are either going to be taken off world or left to form a colony here. And then, of course, the humans, the Greys, and all of them, and the hybrids and all will form their own colonies. I think it's their way of leveling the field so that everybody can get along. Because the current group of humans is not going to, they're not going to, it's not that all humans will. But all you have to do is look around the planet when you see the hypocritical people we have on the planet, the racist people we have on the planet. Think about it. I mean, if we can't even get along on sex or color levels, and we're going to introduce several types of aliens, and so, I just, you know, like the Greys, reptilians, I just don't see how that's going to work, even though they're much more technologically advanced and much stronger than we are physically and much smarter than we are. Still, humans are bigots and hypocrites, and I just don't, and racist, and I just don't see at this point of our evolution how they could get along, not even in the next 500 or 1,000 years. This isn't anything that's going to go away anytime soon. So I think they just determined somewhere along the line that this would be the best way to handle it. A pandemic kills everybody, but it leaves the infrastructures intact. It doesn't do any harm to the planet except wipe out humans. And it also allows the people who are who have been abducted that have the gene or the vaccination not to be affected by the pandemic. It's a clean way of doing it. There's no need for an invasion. There's no need for wiping out cities or planets. A simple pandemic takes care of the people that are not inoculated or not immune to the thing, and away we go. And then you have a fresh new start for the people being left here and the people being taken off world. Who was that just sent me that? Hey, Shelley, I ain't heard from you in a long time. I don't know. I couldn't give you a date or if I wanted to. I mean, if I had to go by what I hear the technology, when I hear, because people talk about different types of vehicles and stuff like that, I would want to say 100 years. It'll be at least that long before we reach 9 to 12 billion. So I'm thinking 100 years. I mean, it could be faster. Something else might trigger it. I mean, I there's no real way of knowing about this, about when it's going to start, other than the technology seems to be current but more advanced. It just seems to be at a level now. They do talk about when some of the hosts or some of the keepers that are left behind to help find and encounter military or encounter these aliens, there seems to be massive amounts of death involved with this. It's like their mental abilities are quite advanced, and they do destroy things and people based on that. But then they're also, you know, they have their own stuff and their own weapons, and it seems like quite a few people die that way. But obviously the military has gotten a vaccination or something, because a good chunk of them survived, or at least some of them survived. I know four or five groups that we've heard of in the U.S., four or five groups that we've heard in Europe. I've heard about one in Russia and Asia. Because we do core groups, and one of the things about core groups is when you deal with contactees is, picture a circle, or picture one person, and then a circle of, say, four people around him, and then a circle of eight people around them, and a circle of 16 around them, and a circle of 32, and a circle of 64, and a circle of 128, and a circle of 256, and so on and so forth. Here you have all of these people are connected. They're the same core group members. So they're going to be making sure that those core group members get on, but those core group members overlap with other ones. So it's kind of a way of knowing what's going on here and there, because they are telepathic and very clairvoyant. So they're connected on a different level. So it seems like they are functionally aware of this. It also seems that the contactees that are being left behind know it ahead of time. Some of them tell me they did a deal to make sure that this, and this person get taken in exchange for them staying here and taking care of whatever it is they're going to take care of, whatever war or battle or conflict they're going to be involved with. And it really just sounds like they're escorts. They sound like they go out and look for contactees, they find out what contactees belong where, and they take them there. They said the only problem is sometimes they run into hybrids, which are very advanced, that want the contactees for whatever reason, and the military who seems to want them. And there does seem to be some nasty squabbling, physical and mental fights that go on there. They also talk about the aerial bombardment of what I guess is military facilities after the humans, so-called, been freed. So, you know, one of the ones that I remember hearing about, this lady's telling me about, she was on a military facility. She was in Chicago is where she was found. And she said Chicago was intact. It looked like Chicago. Just in the future, but it looked like Chicago. She said it was intact. Nothing was on fire. Nothing was burning. She said, but there were, in that town, there were lights in some places, but the street lights and stuff like that, most of the office buildings were shut down. So obviously they had some time to do this stuff. But anyway, so she talks about being taken in and put in a plasma. And she said while she was in a plasma, it was easier for her to link with her aliens who told her, no, just start thinking out loud, come get me, come get me, come get me. And one of the keepers would come get her. She said about a dozen people showed up. They looked like just everyday people with really no, hardly any weapons at all, a few sidearms, but nothing of any consequence, and proceeded to remove something like 10,000 contactees from this facility, and the military couldn't stop them at all. It's like the bullets wouldn't penetrate them. It was, or they could stop them with their mind. When they would look at somebody, the person would just drop to the floor. So it sounded pretty horrific. And there were times where they said that some of the keepers were affected by some type of brain thing where either somebody in the military or a hybrid managed to get into their head and basically just melt their brains, for lack of it. I mean, this stuff sounds like a really good sci-fi movie. It really does. But, and that's what I would take it as, is someone's imagination, but there's too many accounts. There's too many of them describing the cities. There's too many of them describing these keepers. There's too many of them talking about where they were and what was going on. And if it was just Americans, I would say, oh, it's too much television, but it's all around the world. We've got them from advanced countries. We've got them from third world countries. It's just something that we have to consider maybe coming in the future. You know, the real question, I guess, is it intentional or is it accidental? Judging from what I see, or what I should say, what they see, I would have to say it was intentional, not accidental. But again, if we're talking about 9 to 12 billion people, we're not expected, we're at 7 billion now. We're not expected to break 9 million billion until the turn of the next century, and 12 billion not for another 50 or 80 years after that. So, I mean, if we go by that time frame, we're talking anywhere from 80 to 160 years. But it doesn't seem to go much further than that. So, you know, I won't be around then. But, guys, you know, if it happens, I guess we were right. And if it don't, well, then something changed. Or it was wrong. There's no real way of knowing because we're only taking it out of these contactees' heads and their information. There's no real other way to do it. You have to go by what they're telling you, and you have to compare it by what other people are telling you, and that's really where we are right now. Now, it's kind of strange, but some of the contactees have recently been telling me about not just retrieving other people, but retrieving, like, on facilities, their children may have been, if the government was aware, like a MILAD, if they were aware of you, and they knew you had children and spouses, a lot of times, because they may be looking for the keeper, not just a regular contactee, they will take your family and allow some telepathic person to broadcast it out there so you know that they've got your family, so you'll go try to retrieve it or turn yourself over or whatever. Quite a few of them talk about just massive battles to get to these people. I mean, they sound almost epic telepathic-type battles. Where they're just basically burning people, melting people, blowing people's heads up just on like a mass wave running ahead of them. But still, bullets do kill them. Not near as fast as the ones that can get through when they can get through. It's kind of a cross between Close Encounters and Babylon 5 and maybe Star Wars. It's a really weird thing, but you have to take it as the truth, because it's the contactees are giving it to you on a larger scale. It's not one, it's not two, it's not five, it's not ten, it's not 100, it's not 500, it's not 5,000. There's enough of them now that the Holocaust dream has to be taken serious. They also talk about labs being set up in these facilities where they're trying to test and find out, you know, because they haven't seen the host bodies yet. The military hasn't, at least not in the way we thought of. The host bodies are bigger, faster, stronger, and they allow you to use your mental abilities. The brains are designed different, they're bigger, so basically all they do is upload your consciousness into a new body. And this new body is much, much more powerful, both physically and mentally, than your everyday body. And the reason I think they use keepers is because keepers have already been pre-programmed. I hate to use the word program, or they already willingly work with the aliens. So it seems like a logical choice. Even though it's kind of dangerous, it seems like a logical choice. They say these new bodies, new brains, will rival even the reptilians and the humans. You could take on a human or a reptilian in that particular form. We've seen these bodies. We've heard about these bodies a lot. We've heard about the children's bodies. We've heard a lot of things about these. And we've often wondered if the consciousness hasn't already been uploaded and the person living here is simply just a shell of the person that's been uploaded. It's kind of spooky and eerie all at the same time. Meaning that on one of your abductions, say maybe when you were 30 or 40, they took that person, that state of mind, and uploaded it to the body. And the body's kept in stasis until it's needed. And then when you're released at that point of memory and time. You know, and then again, does it really matter if you get older? Because when they put you in a new body, it doesn't really matter, does it, if you're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. The new body, of course, is that. But we do know from some of the reports we get of UFOs being seen near hospitals and mortuaries and graveyards, because we always wondered what interest they had in mortuaries and graveyards. Well, we know now they upload your consciousness at the moment of birth, at the moment of death. Obviously, though, there must be a time frame in there within a day or so or two. That they can come in and take that consciousness out and upload it into the new body. It's scary stuff. And plus, on top of that, they have the ability, for lack of a better way of saying this, is storing you in a hard drive or a floppy. It's not a floppy, but you know, a hard drive. And even they could even store you in a hard drive that's interactive with like a hologram environment. But there's no physicality until your host body is ready. So all that stuff is weird. And I'm sure they take a lot of people, you know, at death. There's no reason to take you before then, because they can abduct you anytime they want. So they might as well leave you to your conclusion. Then, of course, when you die, they're already, you know, the gray or reptilian or humans connected to you telepathically. They feel it. They send somebody over. They upload the consciousness either into the new body or into the matrix, and they hold it there until it's needed. Now, that might explain some of the Men in Black people. It also might explain some of the other weird sightings that people have seen of hybrids, because I think these are what the hybrids are. I don't think the aliens were making their cells. I think they were making bodies for us. I do not think they were making bodies for them. So we're probably the initial crosses that were creating the new bodies were probably the hybrids everybody's talking about. And the black-eyed children are not hybrids. Whoever just wrote me that, no. They're their own race. They're from a different world. They're not from here. They're used on board the ships just like humans are. Some of them are keepers as well that work with the aliens. But they're not really more advanced than we are. They're not alternate dimension. They're not demons or any of that crap. Not to say that they're not black-eyed demons. I'm just saying in this particular case, it's not what it is. So you got to kind of step back away from this and look at it. And it scares me in the sense that what the hell is going on here? Because, you know, when you look at alien abductions, you look at it like this. You always judge aliens by their actions, just like you would do anybody else. You'd say, okay, well, they are abducting people against their will, so, which means they think less of us than we would like them to think of us. But they haven't enlightened us. I mean, they haven't given us advanced technology to enlighten our society, but they also haven't wiped it out, which means they're observing, and whatever they're doing is about their agenda and not ours. Probably, and there's a lot of old stories about the reptilians and humans fighting and big blazing battles across the cosmos until the light beings came. There's lots of interesting stories about this in our history, but is any of it true? Well, the originals, if you look at the original abduction cases, it was reptilians and humans. You don't see the Greys come on the scene in the ancient world till later. So you hear them talk about human-type aliens or demons or whatever you want to call them, and you hear them talk about reptilians. The reptilians are in every culture on this planet. Most cultures, the reptilians are worshipped as good, not bad, and the humans are worshipped as bad, not good. That didn't change until the time of Christ. And that seems to be when the Greys got more involved. But we really think that they've been doing this for a few hundred thousand years, and the Greys showed up probably 25 or 30,000 years ago, and most people think that either the light beings or the galactic people sent them here to stop a war between the humans and reptilians. Because out of the bunch, the Greys are much more advanced than either one of the other two races. Come on, their ships are alive. They have technologies far beyond, their mental facilities are far beyond the other two. And all contactees I've ever talked to that said when they see the three together, they always give way to the Greys. It's been old days. Oh, no, the Greys work for them. No, they don't. The Greys work for the Greys. The three or four different sizes of Greys they have. They're not working for anybody but yourselves. And the rest of the aliens seem to have fear of them. So I call them the Galactic Policemen. And that's probably what happened. They were probably sent here a long time ago to stop this war. But because both of these races, both the reptilians and humans, at one time or another had populations of their own people living here, they feel at the very least, you know, both of them want the world, but they feel at the very least that they should be able to maintain a colony, which of course you can't have if you have humans running around. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? We can give the reptilians the southern hemisphere and the humans the northern hemisphere. Well, that's not going to work, so, because we're going to want something, and so are the Greys. So I figure they'll debby them up, and they'll set it up, and there'll be four or five colonies on the planet, some type of one-world government where everybody just hangs out together. Now, that'll be the end of that, but you can't do that when you have a bunch of humans already on the planet, consuming the resources, destroying the planet. It just doesn't work. It doesn't. So this is an easy way for them to solve this problem without starting big wars or disasters. It'll solve the human problem by, one, allowing us to establish a world here, a colony here, and allow us to start a new planet. Actually, from what I understand, there are two colonies off-world, and then there's humans. Humans were given their own new planet off-world in a 2G environment. It's a different design than here. Even though there are other aliens that live there, they're going to give it, the planet will belong to the humans, which suggests they're already taking quite a lot of humans. When you talk to contactees that have been to other worlds, or to the colonies, like I like to call them, there's three particular colonies that the contactees like to talk about, two of which are worlds. I don't even know if they're colonies, they're just places. One of them they think is where the Greys have a massive presence. They said there's lots of aliens there, there's huge cities there, and there's people coming and going all the time, and there's lots of humans there, but it's humans just have their own colony there. And there's another world they kind of talk about like that, and then there's the one where they talk about it's pretty much just humans. It's going to be their new home world. So I find all that fascinating. Is it true or not? I have no idea. I've had a lot of people tell me about it, but it doesn't make it true. The only other thing they really talk about is the massive galactic conscious, or I should say the massive galactic council world, where they say it's a world probably close to the size of Jupiter. It's covered in water. There's only one city or one continent on the whole damn planet, and it's just one massive city, and it moves around. It actually moves around on the surface of the water. But they say the city itself is probably the size of Earth. So this thing is massive. They said every sentient life form in the universe or in the galaxy that is advanced enough for space travel has a representation in it, along with their people and crews and everything else. You know, I've heard estimates from anywhere from a million to a trillion? I have no idea. A place is big, so it's a lot. But they seem to all congregate there and decide the fate of this galaxy. And so it makes sense to me, because I heard a scientist the other day say, oh, well, there's probably no life. We might be the first life. Well, you're a moron, scientist. The galaxy is almost the universe and the galaxy are both almost 14 billion years old. Yes, there's been lots of life. There's been life in here that died, going away, that we'll never even know existed. They have life coming and going every day in this galaxy. Advanced, not advanced, the same as us. It's teeming out there. So to say that is just ignorant. One is, look, we don't have the technology to search for any type of radio signals, or I shouldn't say radio, but any type of signals that are faster than light travel. Okay, and that's probably how any real alien race communicates, with some type of technology that allows their signals to go fast. I mean, if not, it would take decades for signals to get from one planet to the next, and you know that's not how it works. And the craft seem to be able to talk over great distances, so obviously they have a technology that allows them to talk faster. I'm like, well, we don't have anything that could even look at that. So we're not going to see them. As far as ones with radio waves, come on. We've been broadcasting since the, 1930 Olympics? 1920 Olympics, one of them. So we're out 80 light years at best. Shit. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of stuff in the 80 light year circle around us. But the galaxy is 160,000 light years across. And radio waves only travel at the speed of light. So if they're anywhere even 100 years out, they'll be still 20 years before they get here. If they're 1,000 or 5,000, I mean, we won't even do, by the time we get the signal, we probably don't have technology to get us there. See, that's the whole problem with these premises on this. And to think that we're the only thing that the universe created is ignorant. If you just look at our own little bitty planet and how many life forms are on our own little bitty planet, life thrives anywhere that it can take hold. Not only do I think they're going to find life on Mars, which I've been predicting, I went on a record 30 years ago saying that not only were they going to find water on Mars, they were going to find liquid water, and I was right. I said they were going to find an atmosphere. I was right. I said they were going to find probably fossils, and it looks like they have, and I said they would find life. And it looks like they have. Hell, they may have even found something a little bit more than just microbiological life. So here we are on the urge of really, really, really exploring and understanding how this works. And yet we still seem to be having the same petty bullshit squabbles that we always do. So, you know, you just got to kind of wonder about all of this. Actually, UFO, yeah, we know quite a bit about alien travels and portals. And, you know, there's at least three places on Earth that we know that there's these large triangle portals that move around on a regular basis. They're easily seen, and they blot out big, huge areas. We also know that there's other types of technology where they're jumping across. We've got a photo. Matter of fact, UFO on the ICOR site, there's a photo of a disc and a ship going into the disc. It's a very interesting photo. And it was taken by accident. Well, it wasn't taken by accident. The photo was intentionally taken, but when the photo was snapped, there was nothing there. There was nothing next to the smokestacks, and there was no portal that could be seen. What happened was there was a trickle of smoke coming out of one of the stacks, and it was being, whatever this whole wormhole thing was, picked it up, so it was outlining it, but it was faint enough that you couldn't see with the eye, but the camera, you could see it quite well. And we just thought we got the portal. And I've told the story 100 times, but we thought we just got the portal. And we had posted this. I was on Coast to Coast, and this was posted on Coast to Coast. And one of their viewers, or readers, or listeners called me and said, hey, did you notice the UFO next to the stack? And we went back and looked, and sure enough, some people said it was an ICOR member to call. I don't, maybe it may not. Regardless, we looked, and sure enough, there was a UFO next to the stack, headed up towards the hole. It's a great picture. It gets very, not near the press it should for being as good a photo as it is, but it's interesting. And it does show that aliens do use a portal-type technology. You're not using any type of portals unless you have energy, like what you're talking about, dark matter or antimatter, to punch a hole in the cosmos. You're not going to do it with the technology or the energy we use today. It's just not powerful enough. But, you know, dark matter, antimatter are both probably quite powerful enough. Maybe they're mixing dark matter with antimatter, as far as we know. Regardless, it's badass, and it seems to do a lot of other things other than that, because I've always found it interesting about UFOs. You know, people always say, oh, they're there, then they're gone. It's not like you hear them say, oh, it's streaking across the sky. It's very rare that someone will tell me they've seen a UFO streaking across the sky. It's usually, man, Joe, I was watching this thing, it was badass, and it was gone. Or I was watching the sky, and it was there, and then it was gone. And it wasn't like, poof, shoot off, it was just like a door opening and closing. When I really ask people to really describe it, that's the majority, not all of them, but the majority I get is doorway opening and closing. So that suggests a portal technology is what it suggests. Some type of portal technology that they use to move back and forth. So, you know, over the years of doing this, 32, 33, 34 years now, I've learned quite a lot about quite a lot of things, from propulsion systems to alien worlds and things that go on. But, you know, the Holocaust dream is what I really wanted to talk to you about tonight, because it is scary. You have to wonder if it's real. And if it is, who gets to go and who gets to stay? From the best I can tell, if you're not a contactee and are immune to this and somehow not associated with the group of the military staying, you die. You die. And, you know, if like I said, if it's 9 billion, 7 billion are going to go. If it's 12 billion, 10 billion are going to go. Regardless, they're not taking the whole planet. I mean, from what I understand, it's not going to even be but a couple million, if that many, left behind on Earth. The majority of them are going to be divided up amongst the three. I think a billion are going to the New World to start the new colony. These are all contactees, and most of them advanced contactees. But they're all people who have been taken or messed with or bothered with by the extraterrestrials. So it's important to know these kind of things, because, you know, you can ask your abductor next time, hey, you know, I was listening to Joe Mantella, that crazy bastard on UFO on the cover, and he was talking about y'all might be doing this, that, or the other thing. Because, you know, we encourage people to ask aliens information when they're there, because it's one of the ways we get information. And to, hold on, that's an email. Hold on, let me click this email open. Okay. Ah, James Cameron, I know you, buddy. How have you been? Nice ET conversation tonight. Thank you very much. Let me see, what's he saying here? Hold on, let me read this. Why is it that ET feels the need to interfere in the human world? And shouldn't we be upset about it? We are upset about it. But what are we going to do about it? Really? I mean, what? It's like when people tell me, oh, they invoked the name of Christ and the alien abduction stopped. That's not true. Everybody who's ever told me that when regressed, we found out the abductions were going on. People told me they did this, that, or the other thing. Daryl Sims told me. He made him stop because he got mad. They don't stop unless they don't need you anymore, you're not useful, or they're done with you now. But there's nothing you can say or do that's going to make them stop. And if you become harmful to yourselves, a lot of times they just wipe the memory out. And away you go. As far as what's going on here, it does seem like there's another claim on this planet that we're not the sole beneficiary. And somebody said, well, we're here now. Ah, but you see, is that true or is that not true? You know, we do know that some of the reptilians left, but did all of the reptilians leave? See, if they've never left, if there's still colonies here of reptilians, then no, the planet is not ours. And remember, we were a created species, which means we don't actually have a claim. Let me explain this real quick. According to the Sumerians and a couple of the ancient worlds, there was a blending, okay? It's not just the Sumerians. A lot of worlds talk about this. They talk about this human race that created a slave race to do their mining and do this. And then they talk about this reptilian race that came in and intervened on their behalf and started stealing and raping the women, and women were having children, and children were born, and children were different. And I've said this a thousand times. Initially, we thought they meant the children were deformed or looked different. That's not what they meant. Before that, according to the Bible and the Sumerians and the Mayans, Aztecs, and a bunch of others, humans could do things like they could procreate, they could plow a field, they could make mead. But they didn't understand why. They didn't understand why they were here. They didn't understand why they were doing it and why they were slaves and why were this. Well, after the reptilians got involved, and by the way, in case you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, every human alive today has a reptilian section in their brain, and you'll be quite surprised to find out without it, you would be... Okay, I'm serious. You might want to look into it. It's a very important part of who and what we are. It's what gives us a lot of our fire and drive. So when that happened, those people stood up and said, whoa, no, we are not your slaves anymore. And there were rebellions all around the world. Well, I imagine at that point, the human race, the human alien race, just wanted to wipe out everybody and start over. But the reptilians were here, and they couldn't. So here enters the gray stage, right, to intervene in between these two. And at that point, I don't know when at that point, I don't know if this was 20,000 years ago, 100,000, when it was, there was a plan devised on how this was going to work. Now, they can't really take humans. They could take some humans today. And even 100 or 200, 300 years ago, 500 years ago, it would have been hard to take humans 2,000 years ago and put them off world. Even a lot of humans today, even advanced contactees, it would be hard to take them and put them off world. So they have to pick and choose. They're waiting for us to mature enough that they can do this agenda. So maybe we should start acting more immature. I don't know. But it's the whole thing is very shifty, very scary, and worries me a lot. But anyway, I know we've got to get out of here in a few minutes. So remember, if y'all have information on this or you'd just like to talk about this, you can write me at icar@cox.net. Remember, we are looking for new talent for the network. We are always looking for new talent for the network. But you can write to me to upr@cox.net for that. If you've had these Holocaust dreams, write to me. Catch me on Facebook. Catch me on one of those. If you've had them, by the way, while we're on that, we're going to start hosting once a month on Saturdays between 12 and 3, contactee chat group, contactee support group might be a better way of doing it. We may have one in it. We may have 500 in it. I really don't know. But we are going to start sometime probably around the end of September. Maybe sooner than the end of September, we will start a contactee support group. It will be held probably on Powell Talk or one of the other venues where you can come in, talk about your experience, talk with one of the investigators, and so on and so forth. We used to do this all the time, but we got sidetracked with the station. But we're going to get back to some of the fundamentals and where we are in all of this. So I hope y'all enjoyed the little chat about the Holocaust dreams tonight and some of the alien stuff that's going on. Don't want to scare anybody. It's not really an alien invasion. It's more like a thinning of the population and some new people joining us here on Earth. But anyway, on that note, I'm going to get out of here. I want to thank everyone again for tuning in to UFO on the Cover. I am your host, Joe Montaldo. I hope everyone's having a good time wherever you live on our big, beautiful blue planet. And guys, remember, life is short. Enjoy it. And if you're our contactee, contact us. Good night, everybody. Yeah, you don't want to contact them, one of your organizations, and tell you stuff like, "Oh, I've got 30, or I've got 500, or I've got 1,000," because most of the ones that take 1,000 are lying anyway, because they're not near old enough to have the kind of the numbers we do. I mean, this organization is 16 years old and has 14 years of research prior to it even being existed. So it's 34 actually with everybody involved, and there's a lot of people who have written to us in those years. But anyway, enough about all of that. We're going to get out of here. Again, I want to thank everyone for listening to UFO on the Cover. I am your host, Joe Montaldo. And until next week, have some fun. Enjoy your life. Good night, everybody.
Treat your business to more productivity with sweet savings and sweet reliability from Cable One Business. Go faster with internet speeds up to 30 megabits and enjoy 17 business class features, including free long distance with our unlimited phone plan. All for just $99 a month. It's the lowest price ever on our most popular bundle. Hurry, this...
Okay. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize.